Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you'd look with me to the book of Acts in chapter 10. Acts in chapter 10 on Wednesday nights, we've been going through and studying on the life of the Apostle Peter. And there's so much recorded in the scriptures concerning Peter's life from when he got saved and discipled by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And now he's leading the church that Jesus established in the apostolic age. And he was prepared by the Lord to fill a position that would be much needed, and a leader, and leading the apostles and leading the church through a very difficult time. And so what a blessing it is as we've been studying this and how that he is continuing to represent Christ and leading the church. Last week, we looked at the message that Peter presented to Cornelius, and what a powerful message, because during the apostolic age is when the church would be focused on reaching the Gentiles, something that the Jews had not counted on, they had not been aware of. As they somewhat a mystery to them in the Old Testament, the New Testament church age. And yet Jesus came and was presenting that, and especially here in the book of Acts with the apostles, and Peter is presenting now the God's truths to all the Gentiles. And this would carry on all the way through to the end of the world. And it's always been God's will to impact the families of the earth. And yet we find in the Old Testament, he focused on the nation of Israel, representing him to the rest of the world. And but now here in the book of Acts, just so much is unfolding as far as God's plan for the Gentiles. God is looking, and the message that he preached in verse 35, this was a crust of it. In verse 35 in chapter 10, he says this, "But in every nation, he that feareth him, God, and worketh righteousness, is accepted with him." Now that has been true since the creation of man, since the very beginning. But how now Peter is presenting this to the Gentiles concerning, it's not the color of skin, it's not your nationality, it's not any of those things. There's two things that God is mostly concerned with. And that is reverence and righteousness. And righteousness will be determined by reverence. And we looked at that last week. I trust that was a help and a blessing to you, because that's a powerful message for us today. God is looking to two of the most important things is acknowledging who he is and reverencing him as being the holy and righteous God that he is. He's not the man upstairs. He's not what you want him to be or what you try to make him to be. He is who he is. He's a great I am. And he reveals his holiness. He reveals his righteousness. And so he's seeking those who will reverence him for who he is and then live according to his word and his will, righteousness. And so now we look, and Peter presented that message in chapter 10, verse 34 down to verse 43. Tonight we're looking at the response to Peter's message. The response to Peter's message. And so if you'll go ahead and stand with me, we'll read this in verse 44 down to verse 48. All right, again, here we are, Wednesday night, praise the Lord. Who knows what everyone else around you have faced this week? You know, you might just be getting over COVID. You might be wondering if you have COVID. You might even be wondering if there is such a thing as COVID. Amen? There's so much going on right now in the world. Who knows how it all is going to turn out? But I know that God knows. And my focus needs to be on the Lord, especially when we come to church. And we're here to receive what God has for us. I believe it's a powerful truth tonight as we study this. And so let's plug into what God has for us tonight. As we read here, Acts chapter 10, verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, Jews, which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you again. We thank you for the truth of your word. And Lord, as we study this next event in the life of the Apostle Peter, I know that you've recorded it for us to learn from. And so I pray that you would help us to open up our hearts and our minds to receive the message you have for us individually and collectively as a church. I pray that you'd empower the preaching of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So here we find now Peter has preached God's message to Cornelius and the Gentiles that were gathered there to listen to it. And verse 44, the first thing that we find here is the Gentiles heard God's word. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Hearing God's word, how important it is. Amen. Now, this was a tremendous victory. If you don't understand that, I mean, Jews had not preached to the Gentiles. The Jews would never have witnessed to the Gentiles. They would not have spent the time giving them any time at all. They hated the Gentiles. They thought themselves to be special. And they alone had this Creator God as their God. And that's what made them special. And they did not want to share that God with the world. They didn't want to share that God with the Gentiles. But yet here, as God had worked on Peter, now Peter stands before the Gentiles. Peter, who is representing the church, the New Testament church, he is leading the church through the apostolic age. We find here that Peter stands before them, and he's preaching God's word, and the Gentiles are hearing the very words of God. Now, what happens here is equivalent to the Jewish Pentecost. In Acts in chapter 2, as Peter was prepared to preach Christ after the resurrection of Jesus Christ and all that was taking place there in Jerusalem and the ascension of Jesus Christ, and Peter was given the task of preaching Pentecost. And as he presented the message of Christ to the Jews at Pentecost, a Jewish holiday, as he is preaching the message of Christ, the Holy Spirit of God came down, was poured out upon the Jews. And they all received this indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And they all was evidence of the receiving of the Holy Spirit of God during the apostolic age. They would speak in tongues, but known tongues. They would be speaking in the words that would glorify God, and the people around them could hear in their own language. And it was witnessing to all people all around. That day of Pentecost for the Jews in Acts chapter 2 is now the Gentile Pentecost. What we've read right here in Acts in chapter 10 is giving to us what happened to the Jews in the New Testament church age is now happening to the Gentiles in the New Testament church age, because they will be united. It will not be Jews and Gentiles. It will be humanity. It'll be all people having access to an almighty God and being able to serve and live as God would have them to live and accomplish what God would have them to accomplish. Both dependent upon hearing God's message. I I love it. God called Peter to preach both. Peter experienced the Jewish Pentecost, and now he's experiencing the Gentile Pentecost. I don't know about you, but I know Peter would have been fired up. After seeing what was taking place and understanding it for the very first time, fully understanding what God was doing through Peter and what God was doing for all the world. And there was a great revival taking place here with the Gentiles receiving Jesus Christ and being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Yeah. What a great, great day. But again, it was depending upon hearing. There's never been a revival without hearing. There's never been a conversion without, at some point, hearing. We have to hear. We can't lose sight of the importance of hearing the very words of God. Look over with me to Romans in chapter 10. Romans in chapter 10. We quote often verse 13, and rightly so, because as he gave the plan of salvation, and then after the plan of salvation was given, he says, for whosoever, whosoever. You study the apostolic age, and as Peter's leading the church through the apostolic age, we find that Jews, yes, and praise the Lord, Gentiles also. That means whosoever, whether it be Jew, Gentile, it doesn't matter. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what we're going through right now. We're going through the New Testament church age where anybody and everybody can be saved. And for all of us that understand what salvation brings to us, then we would desire that everyone be saved. If everybody on the planet was saved, we would not have the problems that we have on the planet. We would not have to disagree because we would all be in agreement with God. And we would allow the scriptures to settle any disagreement that we would have. But then it says in verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Somebody proclaiming the word of God. If Peter had not preached at Pentecost, you would not have had the great revival at Pentecost for the Jews. If Peter had not brought the message to the Gentiles, you would not have had the great revival that they had amongst the Gentiles. It took somebody with a desire to take God's word, give it to others. That's how people hear. How they're going to hear if there's not somebody that's speaking out. Can I tell you, that's what Jesus established the church to do. Jesus established the church for this New Testament church age to speak out. He established the church to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. He established the church to have his word that they might take his word and present his word to the world. That's why we have missionaries. It's just not our responsibility as a church to reach our neighborhood. It is, first of all, our responsibility to reach our neighborhood and then to reach our Samaria and Judea and the uttermost parts. It's our responsibility, the church, to reach the world. That's all people. They've got to hear. But they can't hear if we don't have somebody speaking it and preaching it. And taking it to others. Amen. I love that in verse 14. It just kind of backs it all down. After he said, this is the plan of salvation, and anybody can be saved. But how then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? Before you can call, you have to believe. Before you believe, you have to hear. Before you can hear, somebody's got to be telling somebody. Peter realized he was the one to get this thing started. Jesus prepared him for that, to preach Pentecost. And then to go to Cornelius and preach another Pentecost, not a Jewish Pentecost, but a Gentile Pentecost, because we look back and this is where the Gentiles receive salvation and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Without somebody hearing, they have no chance to be saved. If they won't listen, they can't be saved. I tell, of course, most of you know that I enjoy playing golf. As I play in golf, one of the principles of putting is if you don't get it to the hole, 100% of the balls that fall short of the hole fail to go in. Now let that sink in a little bit. There's no chance at all for you to make a putt if you don't get the ball to the hole. None. 100% of all balls that come up short fail to go in. And you usually have some fun with that. That means get it to the hole. 100% of people who fail to hear the word of God will not be saved. But if you get the message out there, you might not see everyone get saved, but they'll have an opportunity to be saved, and many will be saved. But you got to get it out there. If you don't get it out there, no one will be saved. That's how important hearing is. Hearing the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. Chapter 10 of Romans, in chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's what's most important to get out there, is the very word of God. Because without the word of God being preached, without the word of God being taught, without the word of God being shared, no one's going to get saved. You want people to get saved, you got to get the word out. Got to get the word out. Go back with me to our text. That's what God had Peter doing. God had Peter taking the word. Took it to the Gentiles. And they heard. As they heard, they would have an opportunity to believe. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. The Jews, okay, had already believed, and they had the indwelling of the Spirit of God. Now they're going with Peter, and so they hear Peter preaching the word and seeing the very same thing happen to Gentiles that happened to them. They believed, and when they believed, they had the Holy Spirit poured out upon them. He goes on to say that. He says, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 44, it said that when they believed, he fell upon them. It means he was there and he embraced them. He covered them. And verse 45, the very same thing happening, it said, not only this, two ways that that the Bible explains this and identifies this. He says the Holy Spirit fell on them and he was poured out to them. Yeah. As part of the gift. Now, the Holy Spirit is spirit. God is spirit. Jesus had promised, and we'll see in just a minute, that he would send the Holy Spirit to those who would believe and receive him. They would hear about him. You had to hear about him. And then as they heard about Jesus, they would believe it. And as they would believe it, they would receive this indwelling as part of a gift. You don't work for salvation. You don't work to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's God's gift. It's part of the gift of everlasting life. John chapter 14. Go back there with me. Everybody follow me tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. John chapter 14. Jesus understanding this day was coming, but it wouldn't happen until after he would ascend and Peter would be in charge, if you will, of the apostles and leading his church during the apostolic age. But he reveals this, and Peter would have been there to hear that, and no doubt these lessons are coming back to Peter. And he says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." So he is telling the disciples, you're going to know the Holy Spirit of God. You know me. I'm going to give you another comforter that will be helping you as I helped you, be instructing you as I have instructed you, will be giving you truth as I have been giving you truth. That's the part of the gift, this indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. It's a gift of salvation. Included in it is his presence. Thank God that you have everlasting life when you get saved. Thank God that you have salvation. But that's not all. With that gift of everlasting life, with that gift of salvation is the Holy Spirit's indwelling, which makes it all work. Have you ever, especially coming up around Christmas time, got a present that you was excited about and you're looking at it, but then in order for it to operate, you have to have batteries, and they didn't give you batteries? You have a gift, but it's non-functional. It's not working. And you think, wait a minute, you got me all excited. I've got this gift right here. Put some batteries in it. I want to be able to use it. I want to be able to enjoy it. I want it to be able to function. Can I tell you, the very same thing with salvation. Until you are aware of the Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside of you, you'll never function as God wants you to function as a born-again believer with the gift of everlasting life. How important that is for us to understand. You know, that doesn't come automatically. That one principle, that one thought is what led me into the youth ministry. I was saved at 8. I was rebellious during most of my teenage years. But I kept going back to church during my teenage years. God would take me through a trial. I could have lost my life many a times. And every time I knew God, I knew I was saved, and I'd go back to church. But the church I was going to did not have the full revelation of the Word of God that they were teaching. It was at the church I was at, it was a Southern Baptist church, which taught salvation. But they wouldn't teach on the Holy Spirit of God because they didn't want to be pegged as being Pentecostal. And so the preacher of the church that I was attending, he never taught on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit because he did not want to be pegged as being Pentecostal. And so I never heard about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God because I didn't hear of the teaching of the Holy Spirit of God. I didn't know what was going on inside of me when I would get convicted, when I was doing certain things and I couldn't enjoy it like others that were lost were enjoying it. There was something inside of me. I thought I was weird. I thought there's something wrong with me. I can't have the same enjoyment in sin as others are having. And yet I would want to fit in. But then God would bring conviction and chastisement, and I would go back to church. And I did this throughout my teenage years. And then I heard a message, an independent fundamental Baptist church, of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And that light bulb came on. And I said, I'm not weird. I'm saved. I'm saved. And what I've been experiencing has been the judgment, the chastisement, and the conviction of a Holy Spirit that lives within me, even though I did not understand it. He was there because he was part of the gift of salvation. Just put the batteries in. And it started functioning the way it was intended to function. And I said, I don't want to see another teenager go through what I went through. I surrendered to the youth ministry. Thought I would always be involved, and I am as a pastor, but I thought I would always just be a youth pastor. God had other plans. Some 35 years ago, he had other plans. Yeah, called me to be a pastor. But it was that one biblical principle that I finally understood made all the difference in the function of my salvation. The Spirit of God was poured out. Spirit of God's real. The Holy Spirit's presence is real. Can I tell you, it's whatever a preacher prays for. If you're going to stand up and preach the Word of God, pray for God's power, God's presence to help me to preach it, but also to help people to hear it. And that what was taking place. Because if you go back and review just a little bit with me here, leading up to this, Peter and Cornelius were seeking after God. Peter from a different perspective. He was an apostle now seeking God's will concerning how he is to lead the New Testament church through this apostolic age. Cornelius was a lost man, religious though, but didn't realize that what he needed to hear to be able to act upon it to be saved. He was just a religious man living a religious life but was lost. But they both sought God. God gave both of them visions. We've studied this, okay? We studied this. They both were seeking God. God gave both visions. He gave Peter a vision and then revealed to Peter that there would be somebody coming for him and he was to go with them and to speak God's words to the people that they would take him to, which would be the Gentiles, which would be Cornelius. God gave him that vision to prepare him for God's purpose for his life. Cornelius had a vision that he needed to hear what this man Peter would tell him. And so he sent for Peter so that he would be able to hear what God wanted him to hear from this man that he sent for. That's what's been taking place here. They both were seeking God in different ways, but God gave both of them instructions, directions for them to follow after. And then Peter came prepared to preach, and Cornelius came prepared to listen. Because God was there, Peter preached with God's power. Cornelius listened with God's power. And God's presence and his spirit was poured out amongst them. And they had revival. Can I tell you that's available for every service? It really is. I want to sense God's presence every service. That's why I do what I do in preparing myself and preparing the messages and everything else the way I do, because I want to sense God's presence. And I trust that's what our people do, is you want God's presence. And you're praying for the preacher, and you're praying for the musicians, and you're praying for the services, and you're praying, God, speak to me as I have need to be spoken to. And you come expecting, and I come to preach expecting the Spirit of God to be poured out. Now, there's been certain services that have been better than others. Amen. Maybe we're praying harder and we need more and we're seeking more and we need whatever it might be. But can I tell you, there's been very few services that have not sensed the presence of God. Now, I've sensed some of them, the oppression being in the congregation. I've mentioned that every now and then. When I sense it, I'll say, church, pray. I sense an oppression here today. I sense that Satan is trying to hinder the preaching and the teaching and the listening of the Word of God. Because it's real. It's real. How we need to just sense the presence of God in this place. Every time we assemble for services. The very same thing happened here. Happens at Lighthouse Baptist Church. Verse 45, go back with me. We'll come bring this to a close here tonight. But the last part of this, what happens here? The Spirit of God was poured out. And then it says, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God, and then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Now he's speaking to those Jews that came with him that had not been taught about the indwelling of the Spirit of God for the Gentiles, but they're witnessing it. They're seeing it happen to them as it happened to the Jews at the Jewish Pentecost. And Peter says, we're going to go farther than this. Not only can they be saved, not only can they be indwelled with the Holy Spirit of God, they can be baptized and become church members. No such thing as, no, you need to go to a black church and you need to go to a Chinese church and you need to go to a other church. And no, when it comes to the Christ church, all are welcome. All who hear, believe, receive, need to be baptized. And as they're baptized, added to the church. That's what's happening here. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. that would stir up a rift in Jerusalem with a lot of the Jewish believers, and we're going to see that in the upcoming messages here. But they were astonished because they had been taught it wasn't made available to the Gentiles. Well, now it has been. It will be God's plan for the rest and throughout the New Testament church age. Not only was salvation available, baptism and church membership. Can I tell you, there was no doubt much rejoicing after seeing souls saved, knowing what happens when a person gets saved. They get the gift of everlasting life. They get the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And you sit back and you see that happening. You know that's happening when you see somebody get saved. You know that they are. It's going to change their life. And you see them follow the Lord in believer's baptism, and you start rejoicing. We miss out on so much. We failed to get people in church saved and baptized. It's almost like, I'm good. I don't want the church to grow to get any bigger. I don't want people coming in and messing up my relations with other teenagers. And I don't want people coming in and taking away my friends. And, oh, that's the wrong thinking. If we want God's presence in this place, we got to be doing the work that God established the church to do. And the work that God established the church to do is to get out there and present God's message to people so that people can hear. Because without hearing it, they'll not get saved. Without getting saved, they cannot get baptized. Without being baptized, they cannot grow the church. One of the things that I have missed out on here during this old COVID and everything like that, it's been harder to be able to get out and witness to people, get people saved, get people to come to the altar and make decisions, get people back here to be baptized, because I know that changes lives, and that brings the blessings and the rejoicing into the church. A dead church is a church that's not seeing anyone saved and baptized and joining the church. A dead church is a church that's not taking the gospel out to where they are speaking in the truths so that people can hear, whether it be on a bus ministry or an Awana ministry or an outreach in any way, to a nursing home ministry, to downtown, to the men's ministry downtown, to whatever it might be. A dead church is a church that's not experiencing those things. The life of the church is found in getting people saved, baptized, and serving God. I love it. After this, then the Bible says, that's how we're closing tonight. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. See, when they experienced what they did, they said, hey, we want more of this. Don't leave. Don't leave. We want to stay here and rejoice as long as we can, because this is what I want. This is what I want to get out of being in church. I want to receive the indwelling of the Spirit of God. I want to be around the excitement of salvation and people being saved and baptized and serving God. That's a joy. That's a rejoicing. Don't leave, Peter. Just preach another message. See some more souls get saved. See some people's lives changed. What a great example for New Testament church Christianity. We can have that every service. It takes more than just a pastor and the staff. It takes church members. Every church member has contacts that only you can reach. They wouldn't let me come over for nothing. They wouldn't give any one of our staff an ear for anything, but they'll hear you. Let's understand the importance of a people hearing the word of God. Let's, if I could have every head bowed tonight, every eye closed. It's all about hearing. They don't hear. They can't believe what they don't know. They don't know. They can't call upon the name of the Lord. Let's have a desire. Take the word of God to give people an opportunity to hear. Father, we bow before you tonight. We love you. Thank you for the truth of your word and for this event and the life of the Apostle Peter and how blessed it is to see this Gentile Pentecost and how it's impacted people ever since. Impacted us as Gentiles, this church as a result. Lord, I pray that we would just continue to look to you and serve you in whatever capacity you'd have us to serve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.